I really like, you know, as you probably mentioned the maid service many times, I like Macaulay's outlines he does for many books of scripture. So he has an outline that kind of encompasses back into chapter one and then through chapter, the part of chapter two. And he has, he labels that this part of the outline is exhortation to unity, firm in one spirit and one mind. So. Right.
Can you move it over or something? It's just, I don't
okay.
know.
Okay. You know, I really can't.
Uh-oh.
Because, yeah, I didn't actually. Could you ask, maybe Bill could come back. Yeah, I didn't actually yeah, look at what was going on here. You're right. You're going to miss part of the slides. He readjusted something, and I don't know why that's not fully on the screen. Actually, for this slide, we'll be okay. they're on the left-hand side. Okay, so, you know, and we've covered this in chapter one, basically, believers walk, you know, basically the idea of conduct yourself, how the believers conduct himself, and his power is the gospel of Christ. And Bob did a great job last week on that overview of chapter one. And then, so in the last part of chapter one, it's the believer's suffering. His privilege, you know, we talked about the fact that Bob mentioned it too. Again, we're appointed, we're destined to trials, appointed to trials, and that's a privilege. We are to suffer as Christ suffered. And our participation, the fellowship, we're in this fellowship of suffering. Pretty amazing statements by Paul. So now today we get into chapter two, and the first thing we start with is this concept of the believer's unity. And it's just some really great verses here. We'll see them shortly. The incentive, basically, is we're going to see that that's kind of the foundation of our being in Christ is our foundation for unity, because every believer, whether he realizes it or not, is in a living union with the Savior, with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's where he starts. And so the command is one of, well, since you're in this living union with the Savior, then you ought to be of one mind. You ought to think the same thing. And Paul's going to spend a lot of time telling us about that. So we're going to see that today. And then in the coming weeks, we're going to talk about humility and some examples. So that's coming down the road here. Okay. I'm hoping that he'll get here, because actually my slide has a lot of cool things on the right-hand side. That's the very best part on the right-hand side. Okay, but I can do this. Okay, so here are the verses for today. Two verses. Notice it's one sentence. It's only one sentence of the comma, so they split it at the comma. So it's therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. And that word mind, we're going to see it's a really important word. It's for now. We saw it actually. We covered it actually in Romans. So these are the verses for today. So we're going to go through. So my next slide, actually, we could actually finish this class with one slide. My next slide, I decided to do a summary of this verse on one slide. So here we go. Okay, the core of the verse, let's go back. If you look at, it's one sentence in the original, and the center of this is the idea, make my joy complete. So Paul's basically, he's talking about, he you know, and he had this expression before, make my joy complete. So what does that mean? He is joyous when other believers are thinking the way he thinks, and ultimately thinking the way Christ thinks. That's kind of the bottom line. That's what it's about. So the main part of this verse is make my joy complete. Or actually in the original, I flipped it around because make my is a verb. It's actually you make my joy complete. So anyway, so here we go. So the center part of the verse is you make my joy complete. So the way that's possible is only because of the following. Based on our unity with Christ, and that's actually, verse 1 is kind of like a resume, if you will. That's the believer's resume. That's why he can make his joy complete. So Paul delineates that first. He says, we have the following from verse 1. we have the encouragement of Christ. Every single believer, whether he realizes it or not, has the encouragement of Christ. Every single believer has the consolation of love. He has the fellowship of the Spirit, and he has the affection and compassion. That's that term that, you know, I love in the King James, the bowels of mercy. I don't know. I mean, some things the King James, you just can't get away from. And that's just a beautiful, the bowels of mercy. Okay. So that's our resume. That's who we are in Christ. So based upon that, he says, make my joy complete based upon these four things. Then he says, and then there's a purpose word or a purpose statement. It's by or that, in the Greek, by you think the same thing. You think the same thing. So he says that will, and he's going to explain what he means. You think the same thing, okay? And this word think is to fix your mind upon, and it's this word we're going to see when we get into the text. It's this word phroneo, which we saw in Romans 8:5. Set your mind is another translation. Actually, our translation, we have mind rather than think. But to me, using the word think or thinking actually brings it to, makes it easier to grasp. So he says, you make my joy complete for the purpose that you think the same thing. And here are the modifiers of that. Having the same love, as joined in one soul, thinking one and the same thing. And this is kind of interesting. The thinking you think is a verb, and thinking down there in the last part, thinking one and the same, is a participle, but it's the same core word for now. So he says that the way we think the same thing is we have the same love, we have Christ's love, we're joined in one soul, we're the body of Christ, if you will, and we think one and the same. So, I found this just a really cool thing to ponder. The reason that we have unity in the body of Christ is because we are thinking, ultimately, we're thinking what God is thinking. We're thinking what our Savior is thinking. That's what it's, and there's a verse that we're going to see here shortly that says that explicitly. But that's the cool part. Believers have fellowship by thinking the same thing. So that's why knowing God's word, which is the source of our thinking, why it's so critical. A couple of comments from Macaulay. True unity is unity of belief or thought. You know, think about that. You know, the world has the idea, well, we're in unity because we're an ethnic group, we're whatever. We all like cotton candy or whatever it might be. You know, some kind of a crazy thing. But the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has unity because he thinks. We're thinking the same thing. We're thinking what our Savior is thinking, ultimately. And then the last thing here, one more comment here is that if you look at it, it's kind of like a sandwich or a package. You think the same thing at the end, thinking one of the same. His argument begins with thinking, begins to end with the same thought. So that's actually, I can stop right here. We're done. That's why I say, if we got into a crunch, I can say this is it, we're finished for today. But anyway, any thoughts about this before we're going to jump in? As I'm going to go through each one of the things we have in our union with the Savior. I'm going to go on the other side, I'm going to go through each one of these, having the same love, joined in the soul, and so on. Any initial thoughts here before we move on to that?
Yeah, Roger. Consolation of love. I mean, we always look at the term consolation as maybe less than optimal, but still good, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So kind of the silver lining kind of concept.
We're going to see that. That's coming up right now. We're going to go through each of those those aspects of our union with Christ. No, that's good. Thanks, Bob. Okay, so we're just going to move ahead here, and we're going to go through the verse 1, and starting in verse 1. So it has, there's four statements in here, and we're just going to go through each one of those. So it starts off with therefore. So you could translate that certainly, now, then. It could be translated that way. So the first one, and so here's just, there's in the Greek, there's called conditional sentences. And so there's kind of if you listen to different people, I like to bring them across as you're assuming that something is true. You can put sense in there. Some people frown at that. Actually, I know this Weiss will many times, he will do in view of the fact for a conditional sentence that's assumed to be true. He will do in view of the fact. But then, like with this verse, if you look in the Weiss, he'll do in view of the fact that there's encouragement in Christ. Then he'll come back and do sense in the following ones. So I'm not going to, you know, I don't know enough to really make a huge argument about this, but the assumption is this is a true statement about the believer. So it's assumed to be true that there's encouragement in Christ. It's assumed to be true that there's a consolation of love, that there's fellowship of the Spirit, and there's affection and compassion. So we have those four statements that are truthful statements about the believer. And any kind of that pronoun is the idea, it has the idea of certainty, a certain thing, according to Weiss. So it kind of struck me. So it occurred to me, we like have a double emphasis on the certainty. We have a statement, an if statement that's assumed to be true, and then we have an any that's even more certainty. So we have a double emphasis on the certainty of these four aspects of the believer. And then one more thing with the construction here of the sentence, of this part of the sentence, is that the translators in ASV, they've done there is. That's actually supplied. It's not there. But what is interesting is, and Constant points it out, that the NIV, which I don't use very often, it has you have. And boy, I kind of like that because of the certainty of these statements. So you could say, you have encouragement in Christ. There's no doubt about that. You have consolation of love. You have fellowship of the Spirit. You have affection and compassion. So that just really kind of tied that whole thing together. This is something that we have. It's not uncertainty. It's a statement of what we have. And Paul's going to use that as his launching pad, if you will, for saying, this is why we should be thinking the same thing because of these things. So now let's just look here at, go through each of these aspects. Okay, encouragement in Christ. Encouragement is a compound word, para and mythos, counsel or advice. So the idea is exhortation, admonition, and encouragement. And in studying this, some people kind of thought that word has both the idea of exhortation and encouragement. Some kind of went off on the exhortation path, some went off on the encouragement path. But we kind of did both together, so I said, let's go with that. So I chose that path. So here's a parallel verse, very parallel to what we're studying here. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant to you to be of the same mind as for Neo again, with one another according to Christ Jesus. So thinking is important. You know, Christianity is a thinking person's religion. We're to think. That's what, you know, that's Paul says it over and over again. So we need to keep that in mind. Anyway, so Weiss has this, I like this statement by Weiss. He says, Christ's wonderful life should be an admonition, exhortation, and encouragement to the Philippians to live in a state of harmony among themselves. And then it occurred to me that every believer, since he has the very life of Christ, that should make a difference in how we treat one another. But we know from our Romans encounter, Romans 6, 7, and 8, that we have this battle within ourselves. So even though we have the very life of Christ, we still have the Adamic nature. And so even though we should do this, sometimes we don't. But that's why Paul's going to give them this encouragement, this strong encouragement. So I'm just going to kind of keep going here, guys. Sorry. So second one is the idea of consolation of love, of God's love. The idea of comfort, tender cheer. It's a word which comes, the idea of come to the side. It actually has the idea of, like, we think about the Holy Spirit. It comes from that word, I think. A word which comes to the side of one who to stimulate, to comfort, with an element of tenderness. And the Weiss translation of this is, since there is a certain tender persuasion that comes from divine love. And this verse kind of occurred to me. we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So I'm going to move kind of quickly here. Next, if fellowship of the Spirit, koinonia. I didn't do too much on this, and so this is pretty familiar territory. The sharing in common. And here's a verse that kind of speaks to that. Kind of shows the Trinity here. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. But fellowship is a aspect that we have. It really focuses on the Holy Spirit. And then here comes these couple of words here they use together. Affection or vows, splanknon. The word even sounds kind of bowish. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. And it's, the ancients here, that's where it was happening as far as they were concerned. We would say, I have a bowel feeling for you, which sounds kind of gross today, but we would say tender heartedness for you. Then the other word that goes with that is compassion, pity, compassion, mercy of the believer to show compassion for one another. And here's a verse that kind of puts them together. Colossians 3:12. So as those chosen who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart or bowels of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Okay, so that was a pretty quick go through that verse one, but those four things are mentioned as a foundation for the statement he's going to say at the start of verse two. So here we go. Make my joy complete. Or I flipped it around kind of. Use understood. You make complete my joy. Make complete is the idea to fill out, complete, accomplish. And it's a command. And actually, Vern Peterman used to say it's a logical imperative. It makes sense based upon who you are in Christ, which I think is good. It seems to fit here. And actually, a couple of translations of the same word. Fill full my joy. Fill up and complete my joy. So make complete my joy. Fill it up. Bring it to the full. That was Paul's desire for the Philippians. My joy, kara, joy, delight, comes from the word to rejoice. And this word has shown up a couple times earlier. Offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. And 125 said, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. So Paul really is, Merriman, I listened to Merriman a little bit on this verse. He had great joy in the Philippians. He was very joyful about their support for him. You think about it, he was in prison, so that was a real source of joy for him. And then, so next we're going to see, he's going to talk about how did Paul want his joy to be complete? What brought completion to his joy? We've already kind of been down that path, but we're going to get the details now. Okay. By being of the same mind. So this is a word I mentioned earlier, hina. It's a purpose word for a purpose that. And same here is the idea of the same as opposed to different. And here's a verse we're going to see down the road. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing again is no trouble for me. And then here we have our word mind. This is the word for neo. This is what I mentioned before. Being of the same mind. And it's a thinking word, to be minded in a certain way. And literally, it's the idea to think. And this is present tense. It's continuous action. And this is the verb. So we're going to see the rest of this sentence is going to modify this verb. This is the main verb in this part of the sentence. To be of the same mind or to think the same way. So a couple of amplifications. This is from Merriman. The idea is to think, to fix your mind upon, to think with interest and reflection. So if you think about this, consider this. That's what we're about when we spend time in God's Word. That's what we think about, we reflect upon, we focus upon what he's saying. So Paul is putting a stress on the mental dynamics. And so this is an interesting thought. So Paul, you know, this will bring him great joy. Paul has something in his mind. He wants to be in their minds, so brethren. And you say, your first thought is, well, that sounds kind of arrogant. You have something in your mind that I want to be, you know, here's Paul. I want something that's in my mind to be in your mind. Well, it would be arrogant if it was just the things of the world, but this is the things of Christ, right? So he wants the things of Christ that he understands to be in their minds, and that will make his joy complete. Kind of interesting thoughts there. So that sets the stage. By being of the same mind, or basically thinking the same, to think, you know, fixing your mind upon, now he's going to have three aspects of that are going to amplify that point. So the first one, Paul will now tell us how we are to think the same thing. This is more of the details. And actually, this is going to extend the way looking ahead a little bit. Verses 3 and 4 are going to amplify this even a bit more. We went the first two or three, depending on how you count these. And then next week, we're going to see, not next week, the following week after Resurrection Sunday, we're going to see the couple more that come in verses 3 and 4. So here's the first one. By maintaining or having the same love. So he says, you will help your thinking. Not help with it. Sure. What did I say here? The love of Christ has the objective, as the objective would be to focus on the same love. We're to focus on Christ's love. That's our focus. Maintaining the same love, Christ's love. So, and it occurred to me that we have first the thinking, first the same thinking, then the same love. Second, we have united in spirit, fellow soul spirit, or fellow soul minded. It's a together type souls. So we have the same love. We're united in spirit, together type souls. And Zodiati had a comment here, joined together in soul or sentiment, unanimous, it signifies a community of life and love. So then the third one, and this is, there's a little bit of discussion I found between, is the third one that stands alone by itself, or is it one that connects with number two here? So it seems to connect with two, so we'll see what you think here. So you got the first and the second. Maintaining the same love, united in spirit. The third one is intent on one purpose. And what's kind of hidden here, with that translation, you can't see this minded or thinking this. It doesn't pop out as easily. So one is the word hes, one and the same. It's kind of emphatic, one. And I thought this is just a tremendous verse here. If you take that definition of hes and you think about this verse right here, Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. So I take that definition. We are one and the same in Christ. Boy, it's just so beautiful. Just we are one and the same in Christ. There's no distinction. Every believer is one and the same in Christ. We can't make a distinction. We can't say, well, I'm this, I'm that, I have this background, that background. No, there's nothing like that. We're one and the same in Christ. It's just beautiful. And then here's our word. So they translated it purpose, intent on one purpose, and it's to be minded, it's to literally thinking. That's why I did it earlier, I translated it thinking. And it's a participle here with the same core for now. So the interlinear has it, thinking the one thing. That's why I was saying, you know, the verb at the top was you think, and then it is modified by thinking the one thing. You think, thinking the one thing. Seems redundant, but so you could say, So here I'm going to combine two and three together. And this is from Merriman. Together type souls, that's what we have, that united in spirit, together type souls thinking one and the same. Boy, that just was so, seemed to just speak so well to what a body of believers should be about. Together type souls thinking the one thing. Okay, so this is going to be, so actually I put in here at the end, Weiss had a delineation of this too, and he separated the last two, but let's just go through it really quick, then I have my one last verse for you here. And then we have time for a few questions, I think, at the end. Okay, so this is Weiss. So he's doing King James, be like-minded. So you're going to see the same core words here, literally thinking the same thing, referring to the general concord that should exist among them, the brethren. This is defined and shown to be in three constituent elements, having the same love, unity of affection, being of one accord, literally soul with soul, unity of sentiment. And third, one mind, literally thinking the one thing. So he has all the same core words, but I think what combined two and three just really spoke to me. The last expression he says, being repetitious in stronger terms. So just a few of my thoughts here. Boy, we have a parallel verse coming up in probably, 3 weeks now. The parallel verse is, and this is from the interlinear, let this thinking, phroneo, and its continuous, its present tense, be continually in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Boy, just an incredible thing. We're thinking, it says we have the mind of Christ. We're thinking what our Savior thought. I mean, you think that's impossible. How can I, as a creature, be doing that? But he says, that's an encouragement by Paul. Let this thinking be continually in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Pretty amazing stuff. Okay. I got through it in time. Okay. We have time for questions or thoughts. Maybe I went too fast or anything. I thought it was some cool thoughts.
Say, Roger?
Sure, go ahead.
I noticed when I was looking at that this week, that verse 1 talks about our position in Christ.
I like that.
And
great.
All four of those things we have, no matter what we do.
Exactly.
We are in Christ. But then I wrote this down. Those four ifs are true of every believer positionally, but not necessarily in our experience.
Okay.
And so verse 2 tells us, verse 1 is true. Now, verse 2, we need to start acting like that.
Good. No, I like that. No, excellent, Bob. Excellent. No, I didn't mention position there, but I agree with you. I think that's exactly. And it takes a while. You know, when they start off with the if statements, you think iffish, right? Well, it's a maybe. Well, no, it's not a maybe.
I can't remember all the Greek texts when I took.
No, I understand.
When I took Greek in college, I was terrible at it because I didn't know my grammar. But the tenses there, it's not if maybe it is and maybe it isn't, but if it is actually true. That's the tense that's used there.
Right. No, I it's that's good. Excellent. Thank you. Other thoughts?
Roger.
Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
Just a thought and the margin here, there are some like cross references,
Okay.
And on that one area that we just covered, it cross references to chapter 4, and it talks about the two ladies.
Yes, yes.
In chapter 4,
the key
of one mind.
Right.
In this parallel way. To put aside your own personal interests like Christ did, and like each of us should be in that nature, having that nature, we should look at each other the same way.
Right.
For the benefit of each other rather than the benefit of ourselves.
That's good. That's good. Any thoughts out there in Zoom land?
I had a thought, Roger.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's cool how having, you know, we're having the same thoughts, we're having the same love, and yet God can use that in a way where he ministers to the rest of the body as we have these thoughts of love. And I've seen it in two ways. One, when I was growing up, in Sterling, the church there, you know, it's common in farming communities that people come together and they see different needs, and everybody, tries to be aware of what's going on in another person's life. But as a child, I would watch how Violet Lindstrom would do a certain thing for somebody, and, Ruth Lynch would do another thing. And it was so cool because it wasn't one person having to minister to all the needs of the body. It was the Spirit would move that woman to do that, or that man to go and help with that physical need. And the second place that I've seen that is during this almost five years now of challenge, how God has moved different people to encourage us in different ways with cards. Sometimes people would bring stuff by. Sometimes someone would help us with what we needed, some yard work needed to be done. And it's that concrete action of people being sensitive to what the Spirit says, this is something you need to go do. And they do it. And that card that showed up in the mail would encourage me. Or Jim's burden would be lessened when Isaiah came and did certain things, or Cademan came over and did certain things, or Phil came over and did certain things. And I love that about the body of Christ, that there are many being Jesus' hands and feet, reaching out and helping others. So, sorry, that was a little long, crazy. But...
Sorry, I said you were getting... I wasn't listening to your... I knew your voice after you started talking more. I apologize.
Oh, that's okay. I have a little bit of a... I don't know. I think it's allergies, sinus drainage, and so it sounds funny.
No, that's great. Well, thanks for sharing that. I think that's very, very appropriate. Yeah, thanks so much. And we've learned a lot too, being with you through these years too.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and we should close probably. Okay. Well, thanks for all the comments, and if you want to come, you don't have, if you want to stay home and help your wife, I'm talking to the guys here. If it's a big day and lots going on, and wife, really appreciates it, do that. If you don't have that responsibility, please come and join Mike in his class. Okay, so let's close in prayer. We thank you, Father. We thank you so much for today, Lord. We thank you for the blessings we have, knowing that that we are your child, that we are. You desire that we think like you think. Wow, pretty amazing. We thank you for that closeness that you desire in your children. And we thank you for these verses today. In Christ's name, amen.